So 4 years ago, we were closed for COVID, and that was kind of traumatic for me. You know, I didn't agree with the decision to close completely. I saw it was necessary, but I thought, oh, come on, it's a cold. And then I had three funerals from it and realized it wasn't just a cold. Then I started thinking about other things, you know, about how we do church and why it is the way it is. And I decided that I'm going to quit preaching. And I did. I haven't written a sermon since. Right now, you are going to get a 15-minute illustrated Bible study called A Crosstalk. And I figure anybody can put up with me for 15 minutes. So that's what you get when you come here. No sermons. I'm not here to demonstrate to you what a great public speaker I am. We're just going to go through these things. And like today, we're going to do a passage from Romans, two Bible verses. And I hope you appreciate it. This is kind of my sub-theme today, what's on the screen right now. Prayer isn't submitting your wish list to God, you know. It's so often we do that. It's like, oh, Aunt Gert's got a sore toe. Can you heal her? That sort of thing. We're not going to do that. Prayer is reporting for duty. And that's what I like to do that. I think it has a lot to do with Christmas. Now, those of you who know me know I'm not the biggest fan of this time of year. I'm not a big fan of Christmas. Like I said, 42 times I've had to lead churches through Christmas. Always a privilege. But what on earth are you going to say about a baby in a manger 42 times? You know, it's hard to come up with something new every time. So I just don't do it. You know, I'm kind of like this guy. It's a self-portrait. Yeah. But I have my theological and biblical reasons for not appreciating what we've done with Christmas. First off, we don't have any idea when Jesus was born. We know he was born, but we don't know when. We think that according to Hebrew tradition, he would have had to have been born in the spring because the Jews believed at that time that you died on your birthday. So being said he died, you know, at Easter, that's when they think he was born. But what the early Christians did is they took pagan holidays and converted them to nice religious sounding Christian holidays. Like, for instance, you've got Samhain, the festival of the dead that my ancestors, my Dutch ancestors, no doubt participated in. And they, when they became Christians, they converted that to All Saints Day or Halloween. It's gone back to the devil now, of course. But then you had Yule, you know, which was a Nordic celebration of light. Took place on December 21. We converted that to Christmas. So, you know, if you know a little bit about religious history, it's kind of hard to accept that. Well, then there's cultural reasons. I'm not a TV watcher. Ever since HBO came out, I never watched CBS, ABC, or any of those things. But it's on in my house occasionally. And I walk past the TV and I see all these people so enthusiastic and happy about the products that they're selling. And they talk about the cost. It's $49.99. Come on, just say $50. Don't do that to me. Yeah. And then with Christmas comes these boring parties. Awful. And I'm not a big fan of Christmas music either. You know, if it hasn't been written by Keith Richards, I'm not interested in it. So you got all these other things, you know. 42 years of Christmas sermons. And then you know what I used to do? We have this Christmas Eve service every year. And we used to have it at 11 o'clock at night. And after that service, I would load my kids into my old Caprice Estate wagon. That was a cool car. And drive to Sioux Center all through the night. What was wrong with me? Then I'd get there and watch my relatives drink too much. So, you know, that's kind of how it went. If I could get there without hitting a snowstorm. But, you know, driving through central Iowa in December, you take your life in your hands. The last few years, my sons and I have started a new tradition where we watch the greatest Christmas movie of all time, The Godfather. That's really kind of a good time. But we all have some anxiety around Christmas. It's just the way it is, you know. People get nervous about getting their decorations up. And then they get nervous about taking them down again. I have zero anxiety about decorations because I don't have to do them. And then you see people in stores super stressed out, like having meltdowns in Meijer. And I've seen it. You probably have too. I am so thankful for online ordering. Amazon has become my favorite store, so I don't have to deal with the rest of it. But you know, we are compelled by culture to buy things. If you don't get lots of useless gifts for your children, you're a rotten parent. You're made to feel guilty. And, you know, well, our economy does depend on that. But I'm always glad when the Christmas rush is over. 'Tis the season of hurry up and wait. Is there a better way to do Christmas? And I think there is. And the Bible gives us some advice on this. The passage we're going to look at from Romans today is not particularly geared toward Christmas, but it applies universally to every area of our lives, every day of the year. So here it is from Romans chapter 12. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. You report for duty. Make your life a spiritual sacrifice. You say, Lord, what do you want me to do this Christmas? And he'll tell you, and then you do it. Instead of focusing on yourself, focus on the Lord. Let him determine your behavior. Say, what can I do for you, Lord? How can I help? You know, I'm here to love and to cherish family, friends, church. How can I put good into these things? Forget about everything else with Christmas. Just think about that. Paul goes on with this. He says, embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. So here again we have, look what God's done for you. You've got gratitude for your family, for friends. You've got spiritual insight. He's saying, don't become so well adjusted. Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean you have to do it. Follow the beat of a different drummer. When the culture says bye, you say no thanks. When the culture says go into debt or you're not a good person or you're not a good parent, say no thank you. Paul goes on with this. He says, instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. You know, fundamentalists like going around saying, put Christ into Christmas. And I get such a kick out of the billboards that for Christmas stores saying that, you know, yeah, they don't want you to put Christ into Christmas. They want to put your wallet into Christmas. But anyway, why not instead put Christ into you? Pay attention, as the verse says, to what God is doing around you. Respond to Him. And then Christmas can be a time of spiritual and personal growth. See, when you report for duty, you will be changed. A whole different life perspective is yours. And then you can have a joyous holiday. The passage goes on with this. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. When you report for duty, the duty becomes clear. He's been waiting for you to report for duty. He'll let you know what to do and then just do it. Help someone out. Pray. Use the time to connect with God. And don't hesitate. Just do it. Could be something simple, like smoking a brisket for your family and friends, or changing oil in a snowblower. That is a miserable job. Change oil in a snowblower for somebody who doesn't get around doing it themselves. Somebody who struggles with it. The ideas you get are endless. But you can make a difference this Christmas. And so to do that, you have to be different. This is how he concludes this second verse. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. Isn't that great? It's like watching TV, dragging you down to a level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Yeah, many folks get the holiday blues because, you know, it doesn't meet up with their expectations. This verse here is just saying, don't get sucked into that. The culture will drag you down to its level of immaturity if you let it. You know, then you go home and say, oh, I feel bad because I didn't get what I wanted, or nobody's paying attention to me, wah, 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 you know. You hear that all the time. There is a better way. How can I make a positive difference this Christmas? How can I show the love of God to the people I run into, to the people that God sends my way? God will bring out the best in you. God will grow you up, and it is the best way. You know, I appreciated that little play we had there because it goes against culture. You know, our culture says, raise your children to become narcissists. Raise them to become self-centered. Raise them to want things. So that give them lots of gifts so they can get together with their friends and compare gifts and brag without thinking about the kids that don't get much. Maybe we should teach our kids to be servants instead. And teach them that Christmas is really all about Jesus and not about gifts and food, and well, the food isn't bad. But the rest of it, you know. Jesus is not a baby anymore. He's Lord of the universe. So let's not engage in the petty things that go along with Christmas. Change our focus from inward to outward, and let's report for duty and see what happens. Those of you who've been in the military will appreciate this picture. Reporting for duty. If you report for duty, things are going to change. It'll help out your partner, help out your family, help out your friends, help out your church. You'll have the best holidays ever. You know, when I was a kid, way back in the 70s, did some interesting things. I thought I was kind of a hippie Jesus freak type, and that was kind of the people I hung out with, especially toward my senior year of high school. And I found a copy of an old Phillips Bible. Now, that was done in the 60s by a man named Phillips in England. And I really liked the way he translated. He just did the New Testament. This is his version of the passage we just looked at. And it really affected me when I was in high school. It still does today. He said, "With eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to him and acceptable by him." And this is the part I like, that's why I underlined it. "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within, so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves you toward the goal of true maturity." Now, our culture works hard to get us into their molds. We all got to be little Christmas cookies who save big money and shop all the time, you know. Don't get squeezed into that. Let the Lord of all be the Lord of Christmas and report for duty. And then you will have a joyous Christmas. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, I'm sick of Christmas, the way our culture plays it. I know it's good to have a celebration of your arrival on this earth, but you were always here. And we're thankful for that. We're thankful that you're here now. We can't understand it. We can't understand how you can interact with billions of people at the same time, but we know you do it. We know that we are thankful for it. So we present ourselves to you, reporting for duty. Help us to be the people that make your vision for this, for our lives, for this church, for this world, our vision. And bless us as we do it. Amen.